Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
God's been working in her life for a while, and there's no doubt. They came and sat down with me, and after her father was able to pray with her and be with her, then the whole family came and sat down with me. And I'll be honest, she knows, and I'm certain, I have not a doubt in my mind that she knows the Lord has him in her life, and she can celebrate what we just sang together. And so we celebrate that. So Hardy Jane, it is exciting, and I'm glad that we can share this together with your family and your friends. And this is a big day. And I just want to remind her and all of us, and she and I have talked about this, that baptism, this water, it's nice and warm today. It feels good, not hot. It feels great. But this water is just a symbol. It's a symbol of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. It's a symbol of us dying to our old ways, being washed and made new in Jesus and walking in new life with him. It's a symbol that we can say that we are part of God's family and connected to him. And so together today, you're doing something that hundreds of other people here and people that are part of our church have done over the years. And that is to publicly show they have Jesus in their life. So Hardy Jane, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's our privilege, me and your fathers, to baptize you as our sister in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ready? Amen. Amen. Wow, I love to start a service with baptism, and I want to say to anyone else in the room, if you've never given your life to Jesus, this water won't save you, but after you've given your life to Him, you can surely do this as a reminder, the scripture tells us to show that we have Him in our lives, and I would encourage you to do so. If you're a guest at home, it's an honor to have you there. We are thankful you're participating with us. There's instructions on the screen that you can follow to connect with us, and we would invite you to do so. If you're a guest in the room, it's an honor to have you today. And we would invite you to let us know you're here by filling out the registration you received when you came in. And you can place it in the offering box a little later when we leave. And we would invite you to do so. Our church of the week that we're praying for this week is we are praying for the Hispanic congregation at First Methodist Church. They have a wonderful congregation that is growing and God is moving in power. Their pastor is Orlando Rojas. And we love Orlando and Pastor Mark and what they're doing just around the corner from us. And so you pray for their ministry and for God to continue to move in power this week. Our missionaries of the week are Chris and Kim Todd, who are serving in Lebanon. We ask you to pray for them and for their ministry there. They are in a war-torn area dealing with war-torn refugees from Syria, but also now with the fallout and the effects of what's happening with the war in Israel. They're right very close to some things that are happening there. So pray for them. Pray for their ministry. Pray for God to use them in power. And I want to take just a minute to ask you to pray for something else. Our faith family has had a difficult week. We are honored to know that we can have leaders that will show by example and live their lives in such a way that the rest of us know what it means to be discipled and grow in Him. And then when the Lord sees fit to take some of those leaders home, it's a sad day because of the temporary separation, but we celebrate with them what God has done in bringing them new life and bringing it to completion. And this week has been an especially hard week. We had Janelle Cash, who was a longtime member of First Baptist, but has lived away. Her husband passed away a decade ago, and then she has lived away in a nursing home facility now for several years. And so a number of us might not even know her, but she was a blessing to be here, and her funeral was Friday. And then Miss Edith Hall, who has been a servant leader in our church for many years. She was so good to care for people and to pray for people and to serve. Miss Edith passed away on Monday of this last week, and her celebration of life was Thursday. And then just yesterday afternoon, Miss Jeanette Chastain, who, I'll be honest, she's been the face of our church for decades. If you wanted to say, let's put someone in front of somebody else for them to see and say, that's a member of First Baptist, she's who you want there. That sweet smile and who she was and how she cared for people and was an active part of our worship ministry and choir for decades. Miss Jeanette ran her race. She finished her race and went to be with the Lord yesterday afternoon. And then last night, just before midnight, Miss Linda Jennings, who has been a faithful servant here for well over two decades, has been faithfully involved in ministry and things happening in our church, has fought a long battle with cancer. And just before midnight, she went to be with the Lord as well. Now, friends, I want to tell you as your pastor, that's heavy. It's heavy, not because we grieve, we don't know where they are. They're all with Jesus. They've had the best few hours of their lives. They're experiencing reality like never before. But I'll be honest with you, that leaves a hole in our faith family. It leaves a hole in ministry in our city. And we grieve and mourn with those who weep. We weep with them. We want to be beside them. But we don't weep as those with no hope because we have blessed assurance hope that we know where each of those ladies are and that they are with the Lord. And so this morning, we want to celebrate that. So we're going to have a little break in what our order of our service is for now. And I will tell you, one of the sweetest blessings, multiple times being by the bedside of Jeanette with her family and her sweet family who loves the Lord so graciously, to sit and watch them and to just be in the back of the room listening to them sing sweet songs over her and to hear them read scripture and to be there. What a blessing and honor that was. And what I would say to everyone in this room is this: they all understand that though they will miss her, that she is with the Lord. And the same can be said of each of those ladies and their families. So what I want us to do is this: we're not going to sing a slow song. I want to invite you as we celebrate for what those ladies are experiencing. Yes, a loss for us. We're going to sing When We All Get to Heaven. So let's stand up. You lift your voice in praise as we sing this together.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the
Blessings on thy return. thankfulness, and we celebrate the gratitude that we have for that. Let's sing this song together, Gratitude.
Thank you.
As Pastor Chris has mentioned, Father, it's been a very heavy week. A lot's been going on. A lot of hurt, a lot of grief. But God, we have so much to be thankful for. Because God, the people that we've lost this week, Father, they are not dead. They are very much alive in you. They are rejoicing right now. And God, may we display a heart of gratitude to what you have given us. You've given us another day. You've given us another opportunity to come into your house and to worship you. God, you are holy. You are mighty. You are holy forever, Lord. And we sing this song to you. In your name we do pray. Amen. Folks, you may be seated. We're going to learn a new song together as we sing the song of praise, Holy Forever.
Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the land, and all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry. If you've been forgiven,
Say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Say that with me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Just close your eyes and shout that out. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Say it again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father God, you are holy. You are one. You are righteous. Father, we lift up praise to your name. God, may we honor you the way you deserve. Would you teach us from your word? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to John. Chapter 11, John chapter 11. We continue in our series entitled Jesus Said. And today we will see three iconic and power-filled statements from Jesus. And they're all in one story, one narrative from John chapter 11. It was life-changing for the ones who heard it for the first time 2,000 years ago. And it is life-changing for those of us who will read it from the pages of our Bible 2,000 years later today. All three statements, one story. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then later, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And then lastly, Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. We're going to take these three life-giving statements today and apply them to our lives. Let's start with John 11, verse 1. It says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister, Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. This gives us a glimpse into Jesus and his relationships. We think about Jesus and the disciples, but Jesus had friends and relationships outside of that small group of men as well. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus and was friends with them and close to them. And so verse 4 and 5 give us a glimpse into that. And I would say to you, when you hear of a loved one who is at the point of death, what do? You stop. You drop everything and you go. It's what we do. It's what we know to do. It's the right thing to do. No delays, no hesitation. I'll be honest, I've done that more than once this week alone. We stop, we go right away because we care. But that's not what Jesus does here. Jesus deliberately stays where he was 2 days longer. Why? Because Jesus was orchestrating a divine setup for Lazarus and his disciples. Let me say that again. Jesus was orchestrating a divine setup for Lazarus and his disciples. That's the beautiful thing about being the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God, creator of the universe. You see, he can set up our circumstances and use our circumstances to bring him glory and to help us grow. In the good and the bad, we can glorify God. In the peace and the pain, we can point others to him. In the sorrow and the joy, we can worship him and we can influence others. And so they were set up. If you don't think you've ever been set up by God, listen, you don't understand the creator God we have. He allows you to be in circumstance, in situation, so that you can give him glory and point others to him. And so it was a divine setup at this point. Look at verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, after 2 days, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you.
and you want to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he has seen the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Jesus is saying, I'm not worried. It's going to be okay. Let's go. Verse 11, and after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. I love those words. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. You see, Jesus was speaking about one thing, but the disciples were thinking about another. This happened a whole lot back then with them. Jesus would say something, he meant something, and they would hear it a different way. I got to be honest, it still happens 2,000 years later for you and for me. We read God's word or Jesus speaks to us in some way about something and we have our way of hearing it, but God had a different way and what he meant in that. So it still happens today. Look at verse 13. It says, the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. If you're writing things down, here's a statement for you to write down. Jesus didn't do what the sisters wanted him to do so that he could do what they all needed to witness. Let me say it again. Jesus did not do what the sisters wanted him to do so that he could do what they all needed to witness. And that still happens today. How many times has Jesus not responded to a request of mine and something that I hoped would happen in order to show me his plan of deliverance later? And if not a plan of deliverance, at least a plan of development in my life. Listen, friends, Jesus is still in the deliverance and the development business. And he will deliver you at times from your circumstance, or he will develop you in the middle of your circumstance. But make no difference. God wants to get glory, and God wants you to grow in him through that. That's the case. Let's keep going. Verse 16. So Thomas, called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, he seems awful dramatic. But here's the reality. Jesus' life had been threatened. They tried to stone him. They intended to kill him. So I think it's actually an incredible show of faith on Thomas' part to say this, Jesus, if you're going there, we'll just go die with you. Because where you go, we're going. And we're going with you. Verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Let me stop here for a second. It was customary in that day and in that culture that when someone passed away, many Jewish people, your friends especially, but even people you did not know, would come and mourn and weep with you because that was an important part of their culture. So many of these Jews who did not believe Jesus was the Messiah had shown up to mourn the death of Lazarus. Verse 20. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I love that Martha, even in great sorrow, had incredible faith in God. And she said, Jesus, if you'd been here, he'd be alive. But even now, God will do whatever you say. Whatever you ask, he will do. You are connected to him. Whatever you ask of the Father, he will do. What faith she had. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. Listen, again, Jesus spoke a truth and she heard something differently, just like it happened with the disciples. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. do you believe this? And listen to what she said. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son who is coming into the world, the Son of God who's coming into the world. So Martha boldly proclaims Jesus is the Messiah. Don't you love that? She's one of just a handful of people who have spoke such bold words already. And what a bold woman she was. So Jesus speaks one of the most iconic statements in all of history when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. That phrase still matters. Why does that phrase matter? That phrase matters because a young girl hopped into the baptistry today and declared that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That verse still matters today because of the fact, I'm headed to the microphone, Steve. I'll hold it black. That verse still matters today because we come to the place where we will lay to rest four different women before the week is over because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It matters today because you will go somewhere and eat a meal and you will have a server who needs to see Jesus in you and not something else. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so what she sees, they need to see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Your family needs to see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Your coworkers need to see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus offers this incredible statement. Let's keep going together at what's next. Understand, if you've ever stopped to think about this, when Jesus refers or says this iconic statement to her, do you realize he did not say it to an important Jewish leader? Jesus did not give this phrase to the powerful Roman emperor. He didn't even give it to the disciples who were standing there with him, these 12 men who were eagerly following him. No, he chose to give it to one ordinary woman in a day and time when women were not considered equal with men. In a day and time where women were sometimes considered property, but they were definitely considered less than, the king of the world, the king of the universe, decides that he will say to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now that's the message of the cross. What is it? It's this, is that God came to save ordinary people like you and like me. And no offense, but I look around the room and I see hundreds of ordinary people. Now, I realize we're all special in our own way, but I don't know that we have someone from the royal lineage in the room. I don't know that we have someone who will be maybe the next president of the United States in the room. Not the next one anyway, but maybe at some point. Here's the reality. The truth is, you and I would all probably be willing to admit we live a pretty ordinary life in the scheme of the world. And just to know that Jesus came to give life to ordinary people like you and for me. I wrote some things down. He came for teachers, and he came for dropouts. He came for tax preparers, and he came for tax evaders. He came for winners, and he's the resurrection and life for losers. He came for sons and daughters. He came for fathers, and he came for those who were fatherless. Jesus, he came for faithful spouses. And Jesus came for adulterers. He came for meek, and he came for mean people. I closed my eyes so no one would think I was looking at them when I said that. And on we could go. Jesus came for you and for me. So he is the resurrection and the life for you. Let's keep going. Verse 28. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And she heard it. She rose quickly and she went to him. Verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. So all of these Jewish people that did not know Jesus as Messiah followed her thinking they were going to weep. Now, boy, were they surprised at what they were about to find. Verse 32, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same thing Martha said. You can just imagine those two sisters had been talking about it for 4 days, right? If only Jesus had been here. If only Jesus had done this. And now individually, they each say it to him. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have they laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. I love that verse, two words, Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? So right in the middle of the confusion of the Jews, because Jesus is weeping and they don't understand, this is what we have to decide. Why was Jesus weeping? I don't know the answer, and neither do you. Here are some plausible thoughts. Did Jesus weep because his friends were hurting? I believe so. The scripture says, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn. And so Jesus wept with them. Did Jesus weep because he knew Lazarus would be better off in paradise and he was going to have to bring him back to this earth? Listen, Jesus didn't see that necessarily as a great thing. It would have been the godly thing he was called to do and told to do, and he knew that it was the right thing to do at this moment. But heaven is better. And so maybe he weeps knowing I'm going to have to bring him back for just a little while to this broken world. Or did Jesus weep because maybe all of what happened with the dead man for 4 days and brought back to life reminded him of his own death and resurrection to come? We just don't know. What we do know is the scripture says, weep with those who weep. Friends, weep with your friends. Mourn with those who mourn. And the scripture shows us time and time again that heaven is better. Amen? Listen, I hope you can agree with me on that. I love my life on this earth. I'd love to live a long time on this earth. I hope that I get to do so. But I have no doubt in my mind, 100% clarity, heaven's better. And what I would say to you, if you're going through a trial, heaven's better. If everything's great, heaven's better. If whatever the case, Jesus has you here for a reason and for a season. But there will come a time that we too will die, just like Lazarus. And when that time comes, we need to be reminded that we've already experienced the resurrection and new life he was just about to experience. And what we can always be reminded as the backdrop of our entire life is that heaven is better. When you're in pain, remember there is a prize to come. When you are struggling, there is a prize to come. When you see a friend who doesn't know Jesus, remember they need that prize. Share the gospel with them because heaven's better. When you see a friend who is successful but they don't know the Lord, realize all of that will fade. Share the gospel. Heaven is better. Remember those truths. Let's keep going and finish the passage. Verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor because he's been dead for 4 days. That makes sense, and we understand that. And so Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes to the Father, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people standing around me, that they may believe that you sent me. I love that. Jesus looks up to pray to the Father, knowing he doesn't have to look up to do it. He speaks loudly praying to the Father, knowing that the Father always hears him, but he does it so that everyone around could hear. Why? All these years later, Jesus still does things so that people around us will believe in him. Jesus still does things so that your friends will believe in him. And here's the beautiful part of that. He's such a gracious God, but he lets our stories help tell his story. He lets your story help tell his story. Verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I love how the King James Version says it, Lazarus, come forth. I love what one old pastor said many years ago, that if he didn't call Lazarus by name, every dead person in that cemetery would have come out. Can you imagine what it would have been like in that moment? And so he says, come forth. And he offers the same to you and to me today. And I'll take a little poetic license, and I'm not trying to change the scripture, but I understand Jesus' role as our Savior and as our Lord and sustainer of life. And you don't breathe in unless he breathes out. And God is the giver of all things to us. And the next heartbeat you have is because God gives you the heartbeat. So I would say this to you, just as it's symbolic that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I can't help but believe something similar happened this week for all these dear, precious ladies in our church, as if Jesus would say, Edith, come forth. Jeanette, come forth.
Janelle, come forth. Linda, come forth. And someday he's going to say your name and my name, come forth. You say, yeah, but he was brought back to life. Listen, those ladies are more alive than they've ever been. And oh, to know what God does and how he does it for you and for me, there will be a day something similar will happen. And we all will go to be with him. So he says, Lazarus, come forth. And in that moment, this is what happens next. In verse 44, the man who had died, Lazarus, came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. I love how the King James Version says it. It says, loose him and let him go. Guys, if salvation has come to you, I need to say something to some of you, and you need to hear me, and if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. But if you're still walking in bondage to something for your entire life, if God has already said, loose him and let him go, why are you walking in that? It's time to take the next right step in front of you. God, who offers salvation, surely offers victory. And so what we can do is we can learn to walk in that, but we have a part to play. Someone had to unbind Lazarus and get all those wraps off of him so he could be free and moving. And what I would say to you is there's no one else that's going to unbind you. Once you have been given salvation, you need to unbind yourself. And so in a sense, I believe Jesus would say to you and me, loose yourself and let yourself go. I've done the work. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it and all your problems will go away. What I'm talking about is you've been made new by the creator of the universe, so we can surely walk new and free in him. How do we do that? Take the next right step in front of us. Now, I'm not saying we'll be perfect. What I'm saying is we'll learn to walk in obedience to what he has, taking the next step in front of him. But if you're here today and you have struggled to live that out, maybe you struggle with that, I want to remind you of just how important it is to live that out and that God's glory is displayed in that way. So Mary, Martha, and the disciples all grew in their belief, and the chief priests and the Pharisees and any other Jews who didn't believe yet, who were standing nearby, they wanted to put Jesus and Lazarus to death, all because Lazarus was brought back to life. But have you ever stopped to think that Lazarus at some point died again? He didn't magically go to heaven someday. Nothing in the scripture says he was raptured out. So if what makes sense in life makes sense, it would be this, that Jesus brought him back, and post-resurrection Lazarus lived his life for the Lord, and then someday he died again. Why is that important? Because, friends, the ultimate goal for all of us is not to ask Jesus to help us not die. The ultimate goal is to glorify him, and then we're blessed to spend eternity with him someday. The ultimate goal is that we too, listen, if you live long enough, you will die if the Lord doesn't come back, and we will have an opportunity for him to say, come forth, to spend eternity with him. What a good and gracious God we have. But why in the world would he bring Lazarus back? He said he did it on account of all those who were there, and because he had a plan for Lazarus. Can you imagine post-resurrection Lazarus? How obnoxious do you think he was for the gospel? How much can you begin to imagine that he would tell people, I was dead for 4 days? People would say, what did you see? I don't know what he said or what he tells them or what that was about, but I can't help but imagine that he would say to them, what I saw doesn't matter. What I know is the truth is that God is alive, that Jesus is the Son of God, and you need him. And so we celebrate that. And so the post-resurrection Lazarus began to live for the Lord. And I want to encourage you and I to realize that we have something very similar in common, and that is this. You and I are modern-day Lazarus. What I mean by that is this. We were dead in our sins. He brought us back to new life the day you were saved, so you and I can live like we have been resurrected. And we should live that way until death's door comes again and we leave this earth to go to be with him for eternity. That should be our plan. But here's the reality. If we're struggling with that, then we need to stop and examine our own life. If your family line has not changed since you gave your life to Jesus, if your work habits have not changed, if your morality and what you would say is right or wrong has not changed, if your ability to love others has not changed, if your joy has not changed, then you are maybe missing out on the resurrection life that God has for you. And I want to encourage you to be sure you receive that free gift of salvation today, and you do not have to walk around saying, well, I hope I get to go to heaven someday when I die. No, listen, you don't have to have wishful thinking. You can have blessed assurance hope, just like every one of those dear saints of God, women who went to be with the Lord this week. They had hope based on the truth of who God was, not wishful thinking. And you need to know today, and those who are listening on the radio and those who are watching online, please understand, you don't have to say, maybe I get to go to heaven. You can settle that today. Let me share with you quickly a story. I shared this a few years ago, and I've only shared it one time, I think. But back, I don't know, it's been 5 or so years ago, we took a family little spring break trip for 2 nights to Georgia. We went to Atlanta, and we're going to do all the Atlanta things. And as we were there to do all those fun things, it was when some really bad weather came through here. Some tornadoes came through this area. And were making their way where we were staying in Douglasville. And we were, Lily and I with the boys, were pretty nervous about the weather. We were on the fourth floor of this hotel. So it was like, you know, something terrible could happen. What do we do here? So I remember late at night walking down to the lobby. And I did the nice little lady behind the counter. And I said to her, hey, it's bad weather. There's tornadoes not far off. Bad weather headed this way. What's your severe weather plan? And she looked at me with a smile and said these words. She said, our manager just went home, and she said to tell anybody who asks, it's going to be okay. That was her plan. That was the weather plan for, I almost said the name of the hotel, in Douglasville, Georgia. Let me tell you something. That's not a plan. That's wishful thinking. And guess what we did? We got a plan. And pretty soon we were down in the laundry room with her. She was sharing the plan with us in there that we came up with in a safe place downstairs. It's the reality of it. Friends, let me say to you, if you just say, I hope I know Jesus, I hope someday. Listen, wishful thinking is a joke. So I want to encourage you, you can settle that today. It's just as real as anything you would ever know. You can settle that you have Jesus in your life. Invite him to provide you the same grace and salvation that he has to everyone in this room and all those who have gone before. Ask him to save you. He doesn't say, let me watch you a while. He doesn't say, if you'll do this perfectly, if you'll jump through this hoop. Your salvation is not based on you. It's based on him, and he's perfect, and he loved you, and he died for you, and he makes a way that we can repent, which is to change our mind and our heart and to give our lives to him. So if you're here and you need to do so, would you do that today? Just give your life to him. You don't have to base it off of wishful thinking. And then for those of us that do know him, as we wrap things up this morning, I really want to encourage you to stop and understand that in this story, some of you would like to say, well, I'm Mary. I know what it's like to anoint. I know what it's like to have been changed by Jesus and want to anoint him with oil. I know what that's like. Some of you would say, I'm Martha. I'm a doer. I've got some strong faith, and I relate to her. Others of you would say, I'm like Thomas. I want to say to the Lord, listen, if we've got to go die for you, we'll just go die for you. Listen, can I tell you, though, in this story, really, you're Lazarus. 100% you're Lazarus. How do I know that? If you've been saved, you've been brought back to life. And if you've been saved and he didn't immediately take you home to him, you've got a Lazarus story to live out. Post-resurrection, new life in him. So until the final day he calls us home, let's take that in between and live the life he's called us to. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? A little moment of privacy there. And let me share the wrap-up of 4 truths here about what we've talked about. First of all, has Jesus orchestrated a divine setup in your life? Maybe some circumstance or situation you wish was different, but you find yourself in it, and you see now that God can use it if he wants to deliver you through it or if he wants to develop you in it. And so you stop and you just say, God, I want to trust you. I need your help to trust you. And God, I'm still asking for deliverance. But at the same time, would you develop me more into the person you'd have me to be? Maybe that's you and you want to come and pray about that. Secondly, I would say this to wrap up. God came to bring resurrection life to ordinary people like us. Aren't you glad that he does extraordinary things with ordinary men and women? So ask him to use you in power. And then next, remember that your story helps to tell his story. So determine if you're telling a good story or the wrong story. And then lastly, just don't forget, you are a modern day Lazarus, so you can live the resurrection life for the remainder of your time on earth. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you have been touched by the scripture, if God used it to speak to you in some way and you want to respond, I invite you, you can come and pray. Someone will pray with you. You can come and pray with me. I'll pray with you. If you've given your life to Jesus, or you need to settle that you have Jesus in your life, listen, today's the day. Come, I'll share with you. I'll pray with you. Maybe you're like Hardy Jane. You've given your life to Jesus, but it's time you follow through with believer's baptism. And so you want to take the courage to walk down an aisle and just say, I want to follow through and do that soon. To make your public profession of Jesus in your life. Maybe you've got another prayer need. Whatever you need, pray for today. We'll pray for you. Father God, please have your way among us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. You come.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.